What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Money. I am your host, Todd Maxwell. So Super Bowl 57 just wrapped up, and I'm going to recap that. It's hard to keep track of what Super Bowl number it is. I always have to like think back to one of the ones that were memorable that I knew, and then I just count. But yeah, this was Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs defeat the Eagles 38-35. It was a great game. A little bit of an anticlimactic ending. We're going to get into it. I know I've been gone, but I had a lot on my mind, so I wanted to make this episode. And I got no notes in front of me right now. I'm just kind of spitball and go off the top of my dome. And we're gonna break down the game, and then towards the end of the episode, I'll probably say like I always do, and say that I'm gonna try to be consistent and end up not doing it. But this time around, I think I might actually hold my word, because I started to make a couple TikToks, so I'm gonna start on the TikTok and start to promote the podcast on there. So if you don't go follow my TikTok, because I made a couple videos on there, I'm actually making videos on there now. It's at HCTM Pod. I might change that name because that's kind of confusing, so I might just change it to at Todd Max 16 or Todd Max something, so that way my name's in it and people can actually like find me easier. But for right now, my TikTok is at HCTM. It's really not that hard, actually. Here Comes the Money. It's the abbreviation of that, all lowercase, at HCTM Pod. So go follow me on TikTok, because I'm trying to get followers on there so I can start going live on there. And I want to do that and, you know, talk about sports and talk about games and talk about betting and talk about all kinds of stuff. But for now, I'm just going to break down the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, MVP, gets his second Super Bowl MVP. He's now two-time league MVP, two-time Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl champ. And he's played 5 seasons, so the guy is really, really, really good. The Eagles even had a great game plan that they had in the first half to keep him off the field, which worked in the first half, and the second half didn't work as well. And that's how the Chiefs came back. Eagles were up 24-14 at the half. That's when their game plan was working, because the Chiefs only had one offensive touchdown in the first half. Their other touchdown came from a scoop and score, fumble recovery by Nick Bolton, where Hurts kind of just dropped the ball. Speaking of Jalen Hurts, besides that play, he had a phenomenal game. Let's talk about the Eagles side first. I'm not going to hate, but I will say the Eagles were a great team this year. I mean, you don't get that far without being a great team. They went 14-3, and then, I mean, with Hurts overall, including playoffs, they were 16-2. And that includes this loss tonight and the one regular season loss against Washington, if I recall correctly. Again, I'm just off the top of the dome going from my knowledge here. No notes. I just wanted to make this episode real quick. But yeah, Hurts had a phenomenal game. We're going to start with the Eagles. He was 27 for 38, 304 yards, and one touchdown pass, but 3 rushing touchdowns along with 70 rushing yards. He pretty much carried them offensively. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith did have great games. They combined for 13 catches for 196 and a touchdown. Devontae Smith, I'm going to start calling him Big Game Devontae, because going back to college, every time there's a big game, he shows up. When he was a freshman in college, he caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the national championship, and then he capped off his collegiate career with the Heisman season and then winning another national championship, in which he literally only played the first half, and he had like almost 200 yards, I believe. Just an insane player he is. Big Game Devontae showed out. Besides Hurts, the Eagles really couldn't run the ball that well. He had the 70 rushing yards, but their second leading rusher, their running back with the most yards was Kenneth Gainwell with 21. Miles Sanders had 16. Boston Scott had 8. But what I said about the Eagles and hating, I've kind of been preying on their downfall all year. Just because I wouldn't even say an easy schedule, but they didn't play any dynamic offenses until they played the Chiefs, of course. Think about it. Even their 2 playoff games, they played the 49ers, who literally were quarterbackless. When Brock Purdy got knocked out of that game, they did not have a quarterback. They ran out of quarterbacks, And then Josh Johnson also got hurt, but that dude was garbage anyway. And they literally, the 49ers gave up in that game because they could not. They had to play Brock Purdy. They had to put him back in, and he was hurt, has that elbow injury. They could not pass the ball. They were just running it, so they gave up, basically. There was that game. That was the NFC Championship game. And then they played the Giants, who overachieved this year, and are just, in my opinion, the Giants aren't one of the least talented teams to ever make the playoffs or win a playoff game, which they did. I think their coach is great. Brian Daboll was a great head coach. First year, he won Coach of the Year. But as far as talent goes, outside of Saquon and a couple guys on defense, like Dexter Lawrence and Xavier McKinney, the Giants, they have one of the worst receiving cores. Really no dynamic offensive players outside of Saquon. Daniel Jones is mid. He's average. So that was the two playoff games the Eagles had up until the Super Bowl. And in the regular season, the best quarterback they faced was either Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins or Jared Goff. It was one of those three. And so, because they did not have to, that's the thing. The AFC has all the top young stud quarterbacks. We're talking Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, obviously Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Tua. Jalen Hurts is like the only like young up-and-coming stud quarterback in the NFC, if you think about it. Who else besides Jalen Hurts in the NFC? So the Eagles didn't have to play anyone like that because none of those teams were on their schedule. Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, all those guys. None of those were on the schedule. So they didn't have to play anyone like that. The Chiefs were more battle-tested, in my opinion. That's why I went into this game thinking the Chiefs were going to win. It was a great game. I mean, like I said, the Eagles aren't a bad – I mean, they're a great team. I just don't think they were as battle-tested because the AFC is so much more loaded than the NFC, especially the quarterbacks and the offenses. Other than Hurts in the NFC, who's the second-best quarterback under the age of – I guess I'll go 30 in the NFC. It's probably Dak. Kirk Cousins is like 34 and he's won one playoff game because the guy always folds. Aaron Rodgers is getting old. Brady just retired. So all those guys in the NFC, other than Hurts, there's no young stud quarterbacks. The AFC has Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Tua. Like I said, am I missing anyone? No, I think that's it. But still, that's 5-1. And like those guys, and Mahomes, I'm going to get to the Chiefs later, but Mahomes is just different. He's absurd, just an absurd player. Like I said, he got MVP. So yeah, that's kind of been my thought on the Eagles all year, and it came to fruition today, even though they could have easily won that game. I said anticlimactic ending because it was 35-35, Chiefs had the ball, and they were driving, they were in the red zone, and Mahomes threw it to the end zone on third down. And they would have had to kick a field goal, and the Eagles would have got the ball back with a shot. So it didn't really decide the game, but then they called a hold on James Bradberry, which was the right call. But in that situation, the refs probably shouldn't have called it. I will agree. But it was the right call. James Bradberry even admitted it after the game. So I really don't know, like, you can't really say, oh, you know, the refs rigged the game or anything like that. But it definitely was a big call. So then the Chiefs were able to just, you know, milk the clock and then they kicked a field goal with like 8 seconds left. The Eagles, they are what I kind of expected. They're a great team, but they weren't very battle-tested, especially facing like offenses. The AFC is just, I mean, we knew that going into the regular season. Remember when all those moves were made in the offseason? We obviously thought the Broncos were going to be better than what they were and a couple other teams, but we knew that the AFC was much more talented and better than the NFC. We knew that. So, I mean, I don't know why it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. All the storylines, the Kelce Bros was cool. Andy Reid beating the Eagles is awesome. I love Andy Reid. Big Red. He's the man. I hope he ate so many cheeseburgers tonight to celebrate. That basically is all I had to say about the Eagles. I mean, they're going to be good for a while. All their best players are young. Devontae Smith, Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown. They got a couple guys on the defense getting older, like Fletcher Cox. But And then their offensive line is getting a little older, but it's still the best offensive line in football by far. So their core is pretty young. They'll be able to keep it together for a while. They'll be good. They should really, I mean, things are going to shake up in free agency in the draft, but as of right now, the Eagles are the top dogs in the NFC and going forward, depending on what happens in free agency, especially, you know, Brady's gone. Tampa's going to go back to being garbage probably. And they might get Derek Carr. I don't know. I mean, that's not going to help that much, but, you know, the Cowboys are what they are with Dak. The Vikings are what they are with Kirk. Those teams aren't their ceiling. They pretty much reached their ceiling. 49ers, maybe. We'll see what they do at quarterback going forward. So, yeah, it should be interesting. Yeah. Now on to the Chiefs side. Like I mentioned, Patrick Mahomes got the MVP. He was 21 for 27, only had 182 passing yards. Like I said, a lot of that was because the Eagles kept him off the field in the first half. He did have 3 touchdown passes. I mean, his quarterback rating was 131. He didn't make a mistake. He was just perfect. And that was on a bad ankle. He got hit and re-aggravated that ankle right before the half. They probably shot him up with a bunch of painkillers at halftime. But the dude, he did this with – obviously, he has Travis Kelce, who had 6 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown tonight. I'm looking at the box score right now. But he does that with guys who really like his wide receiving core is very, 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 very mid. Tonight I call them TikTokers and Walmart grocery store workers because, I bring up TikTok as a Juju, and Juju is technically, I guess, their wide receiver one. Look at Juju's numbers all year, he was very mid. Today, he did in the second half, he caught some, you know, clutch passes, but he was still his stat line was 7 catches for 53 yards, which is a 7.6. average per catch, and no touchdowns. So it's not like he was fantastic. Besides Kelce, he was the leading receiver. And then you had like Justin Watson had 2 catches for 18 yards. Marquez Valdes-Scantling didn't catch a single pass. Sky Moore had 1 catch for 4 yards and a touchdown. Kadarius Toney had 1 catch for 5 yards and a touchdown. But Kadarius Toney might have had the play of the game with his punt return that set up the Chiefs to go up 8. That was a huge play, and then obviously his touchdown was a huge play. Obviously, if they keep a hold of Tony, he'll probably be their guy going forward. I would imagine because if he stays healthy, that's always a problem with him because that dude's dynamic. But yeah, so Mahomes does all this with the Eagles having that perfect game plan, keeping him off the field. He pretty much had to be perfect in the second half to lead that comeback, and he was. Because they had no room for error because the Eagles offense was moving the ball so well. The Chiefs defense could not get off the field. The Eagles just had 7-minute drive after 7-minute drive. In fact, they tied the record for the longest drive in a Super Bowl play wise, which they had 17. I will say this, that drive did end up in a field goal. So the Chiefs did come up huge there to hold them to 3 in the red zone. But the Chiefs defense wasn't good outside of, you know, they got a gift with a Nick Bolton fumble recovery. Jalen Hurts was diming. He was throwing dimes, so it was kind of tough. Nick Bolton did have a really good game, though. That dude was flying everywhere. How many tackles did he have? He had 9 tackles. And then, obviously, that touchdown. So, yeah, he was pretty big. Lejarius Sneed had a couple nice plays. So, you know, they made a couple timely plays, but they weren't good. Mahomes had to really score almost every time he touched the ball in the second half, which I'm pretty sure they did. I don't think they punted and they didn't turn the ball over. Because they had 14 points at the half. So then they scored 24 in the second half, 3 touchdowns. They might have punted once. I don't know. But like I said, I didn't do any notes, so I don't know. But it was very minimal punts. And in fact, the game itself, it was a great game off if you like offensive football because there wasn't many punts and there was only that one turnover, which, again, was a very, very timely turnover and costly for the Eagles. Maybe the unsung hero on offense for the Chiefs. I mentioned everyone, but I haven't mentioned him yet. Isaiah Pacheco. That guy runs like someone slapped his mom. He runs super hard. I really like him, and he's a rookie, so like going forward, they might have their guy run as a running back, and obviously they have like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerry McKinnon, but he's more of like a, you know, pure like running back where those two aren't as much. McKinnon receiving back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a good back, but he's kind of a mix. Obviously, he was hurt. They activated him for this game, but I don't think he saw the field. Pacheco had 15 carries for 76 yards and a touchdown, 5.1 yards per carry, which was pretty big. Mahomes had a 44 yards rushing. He had a big run on the final drive, which will kind of set them up to kick the game winner. But yeah, the Chiefs, you know, they could be a dynasty in the making. They got two now in 5 years since Mahomes took over, and then they went to another one. He's been in the AFC Championship game every single year that he started. And I really do want to give Andy Reid his flowers. That man is underrated. He's, other than Bill Belichick, he's the best coach of this era. And it brings me to a question, and I'm probably going to make a video and talk about this on a TikTok. So like I said, go follow me on TikTok. Where does Andy Reid rank all time among head coaches? Like I said, by far, in my opinion, second best in the modern era behind Belichick. But obviously there's like guys back in the day like Chuck Noll, Vince Lombardi, Jimmy Johnson as well. So he'll probably off to, you know, really break it down in my TikTok. And it's just a question, really. I mean, I'm not really ranking him anywhere right now, but I probably, maybe on the next episode, I'll rank him somewhere. Maybe I'll rank a list of all-time coaches. Yeah, I'll probably do that. I'll do that. But I am going to, you know, it's a question that I would love, you know, people to answer. Because to me, he's probably he might be borderline top five. He's definitely in the top 10 all time. And like I said, second best modern coach behind Bill Belichick. It kind of sucks that he didn't get a ring with the Eagles. This is now a second with the Chiefs. But it's more than just like the winning part of it or the winning aspect. Because obviously Andy Reid, all those years with the Eagles, he did always lose the big game. Now that he's with the Chiefs, and basically since he's had Mahomes, he's been, you know, more of a winner. But it's more than that. It's the fact that he is just an absolute offensive guru. The play designs, the guy is fantastic. He's just so creative, so good. Obviously, it's not just him. They have Eric Bieniemy as well, but Andy Reid's definitely like the mind that makes it go. And I think it's hilarious because you look at the guy and he's just like, you know, a chubby dude with a mustache, and you know, he don't look like he would be like an offensive football genius, but he really is. And this is me giving Andy Reid all the flowers. So shout out Big Red, you know, shout out Patrick Mahomes, shout out Kansas City. Congratulations. Their third ever Super Bowl, second with Mahomes. It really does, you know, show that this is a quarterback driven league, because the Chiefs were a good playoff team when they had Alex Smith, and Andy Reid was obviously the coach. When he first took over, that he had Alex Smith. They were a good team pretty much every year, made the playoffs, but they could never, you know, make a run with Alex Smith. Then they draft Patrick Mahomes, and they're automatically Super Bowl, you know, contenders every single year. Like I said, every year that Patty Mahomes has started, they've at least been in the AFC Championship game. And three Super Bowl appearances and two Super Bowl wins. So, yeah, the Chiefs could be a dynasty in the making. They ask, was it Mahomes? Or I think they might ask Kelsey after in the interview, is it a dynasty? No, I think it was Mahomes. And he said he doesn't. He said, you know, they're not done. So, you know, job's not finished type mentality. They want to become like a true dynasty. Obviously, if they win another one within the next couple of years, that's a dynasty by far. I think 2 and 5 years can maybe classify, but if you win three, it's 100% a dynasty. But yeah, congrats Kansas City. I mean, that wraps up the season. It's going to be a long off season. If I am going to stay consistent, I'll be covering the NFL draft, and I'll probably talk about free agency as well. I mean, I'm planning on it. It's just some, you know, I always do, and then I just lose motivation or I get busy with work or something. You know, I don't know. But I'm taking a look at the Super Bowl odds for next year, the betting odds. Chiefs are the favorites at +500, obviously. Bills +550. Niners +700. Bengals +900. Eagles +1,000. Cowboys +1,500. Chargers +2,200. Ravens +2,800. So, yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to shake up a lot as free agency happens and stuff. But if I had to make a way, way, way too early prediction for the Super Bowl next year, obviously this will change. But I want to say the Dolphins, because I think second year under Mike McDaniel, And obviously, you know, Hill, Waddle, and their defense is going to get even better. I mean, they have Bradley Chubb locked up for a while, and then their younger guys on defense get better. But I just, Tua's health concerns me. I will say, as of right now, this is just off the cuff. This is obviously going to change as free agency and the draft happens. But I'm going to say, Bengals. Oh, wow. I can't believe I said that. Bengals and the NFC is so tough. Bengals to, like, predict. Let me think. This is just live, guys. I'm just thinking right now. I'm literally, the wheels are turning in my head. I'm not going to say the Eagles. I'm not going to say the Cowboys. I mean, the Eagles could easily get back, but I'm not going to predict that. You know what? No, I take it back. It's going to be the Chiefs again and the Rams. We're going to get that Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl that we wanted last year, but the Bengals came back and beat the Chiefs. Matthew Stafford's going to get healthy. Cooper Kupp's going to get healthy. Aaron Donald will be back. Jalen Ramsey will be back. Well, actually, Jalen Ramsey might be gone. We'll see. I don't know. But that's not, honestly, not the worst loss if he is, because he's no longer, like, you know, the best corner. He's still, you know, solid. But yeah, I'll say Chiefs Rams. The past two winners, I'm gonna say that's my way too early prediction. I forgot about the Rams, because really the Rams this year just kind of fell off, because I think teams are kind of sleeping, or people are going to be sleeping on them going into next year, because if Stafford can get healthy and get his elbow right, Kupp will be fine. You know, his injury, they only kept him out because they weren't going anywhere, and Matthew Stafford was out for the year. So, and I mean, that's the reason Cooper Kupp got hurt in the first place, was because John Wolford threw him a high pass and someone took out his leg or his ankle. But yeah, I'm going to say Chiefs-Rams. That'll be fun if they're both those teams are healthy and they meet next year. But yeah, that's obviously going to change a lot. A lot of stuff's going to happen in the offseason, free agency, draft. The XFL starts next week, so technically football is not going to have an offseason this year, football in general. Obviously, the NFL and college are going to have an offseason, but XFL starts next week. I looked it up. It goes up until April or May, and then the USFL starts in April, and that'll go till, like, probably July, which then will be right in time for next season, next NFL and college season. So that's pretty cool. American football becoming the next, might become like soccer, where it's just like no off season. There's always a league going on. That'd be pretty cool, honestly. I probably will check out the XFL. I don't know how into it I'll be. USFL was fun last year. I was kind of into it. And I went to the USFL championship game in Canton. That was pretty fun. The Birmingham Stallions won. Shout out Bo Scarborough. That dude's a beast. Remember him? If you don't remember him, he was a beast at Alabama. Never really panned out in the NFL. Was like a, I don't think he got drafted that high. He was like a later pick. But he absolutely tore up the USFL last year. That's another cool thing about the XFL and the USFL. They are kind of like, they act as, like, you know, farm systems for the NFL. Because, I mean, let's be honest, these guys are joining these leagues to try to get back in the NFL. It's a lot of guys who maybe they're on, like, a practice squad, or maybe they were once a star or, like, a borderline star in the NFL. Like, Martavis Bryant is in the XFL. So that'll be interesting. I know a couple guys from the USFL last season got signed to NFL teams, including the one that I can remember was Kevontae Turpin for the Cowboys. He played in the USFL, and then they picked him up. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Trying to think of what else I want to talk about on this episode. I don't know. I kind of want to just go over, like, next season, because teams, you know, who could be a sneaky team if they can get a quarterback, and not even a sneaky team, like, if they just, they all really, they're just a quarterback away. The New York Jets are a quarterback away from being a contender. They had the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL in Garrett Wilson, the defensive rookie of the year in Sauce Gardner, and they have a bunch of, like, Breece Hall will be back coming off his injury. He actually probably would have won rookie of the year had he stayed healthy. Yeah, they really do need a quarterback, and they're there. They got Quinnen Williams, who's a beast. He's still young, defensive tackle, probably one of the more underrated players in the NFL. couple other nice pieces. Reed is the other corner they have. He's solid across from Sauce. Ooh, I like that, across from Sauce. Yeah, I mean, the Jets really, I don't think a quarterback would automatically make them. It would make them a playoff team. They were borderline playoff team this year, and that was with absolute rubbish at quarterback. He had Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, and Mike White starting games for you. I mean, it was not good, and they almost made the playoffs. I could see them maybe going to get Rodgers. They could get Derek Carr, but I don't know if Derek Carr would be the guy. I think Rodgers would be a perfect fit because he's towards the end of his career. You know he wants one more Super Bowl ring, but he's not exactly in his prime anymore. He at times did not look good this year. But he wasn't horrible. Like he can still play. It can be kind of like a Peyton Manning situation in Denver, where he's just on like a good team and they can carry him to the Super Bowl. And you know, Rodgers isn't as washed as Peyton was in that final season. I won't say that, but he is getting older. Who knows what's going to happen? It just doesn't make sense. Why I still have no clue why he re-signed in Green Bay last year. Like he literally could have picked where he wanted to go. And he resigned. So now he's going to have to like force his way out, and it's going to have to be a trade. He could reunite in Vegas with Devontae Adams. That's also intriguing. And that would make the Raiders a contender, in my opinion, because maybe not necessarily. I like him better in New York, but with the Raiders, they would have to like shore up their defense because the Jets have a way better defense than the Raiders. Raiders' defense isn't very good outside of Max Crosby. Chandler Jones is still all right, but their secondary's garbage. Their linebackers aren't the best. They got Perryman. I don't know. Like I said, a lot of guys will be moving in the offseason, but we'll see how that goes. But offensively, Rodgers in Vegas, I mean, him reuniting with Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, Josh Jacobs is a free agent. I do know that. So we'll see if they keep him. He led the league in rushing this year. I just think Rodgers, if he wants another ring, he's going to have to get out of Green Bay. They're not going to win it. He's not going to win in the ring in Green Bay. I just can't see it. I mean, they had a chance to make the playoffs this year. They lost the Lions in Green Bay. Can you imagine the Packers ever losing to the Lions in Green Bay with the season on the line, a chance for the playoffs in the final week on primetime, and they lost to the Lions, who, by the way, I absolutely love the future of the Lions under Dan Campbell. They just missed making the playoffs this year. I absolutely need the Lions to make the playoffs next year. I need it to happen. I need Dan Campbell in the playoffs. I want to run through a wall for that guy. He is just the man. And the Lions do have some young talent, so that'll be interesting. But, I mean, I'm kind of all over the place here. But I was talking about Rodgers. Like I said, I'm just kind of going off script here. Yeah, I like him better in New York. I think the Raiders would be interesting, but I just don't like the Raiders' defense. Jets defense I love. I was talking about, could you ever imagine Green Bay lose? And they got swept by the Lions this year. In fact, the game in Detroit, Rodgers looked like complete garbage. They picked him off like three times in that game. And then with season on the line, week 18, all you had to do is win. And the Lions went into Lambeau. Imagine that. Detroit Lions went into Lambeau and ruined. That would have never happened in Rodgers' prime, obviously. Now, the Packers, not a horrible team, but I just don't, you know, I don't ever see them, you know, competing anymore with the team. The current structure of their team. Christian Watson did come on as the season went on, but they still don't have the best wide receiver core. They do have a good duo running back. Defense is good. At times, not great, but they're good. They're good defense. Jair Alexander's might be the best corner in the NFL. He's up there. If he's healthy, he's had issues staying healthy lately. But when he's healthy, he's one of the best corners in the league. But yeah, I just don't see it. He's gonna have to force his way out of Green Bay if he wants to ever get that elusive second ring. Rodgers might end up going down as like one of the most talented quarterbacks who underachieves, because he's, as far as talent goes, he's up there with the best of them. But the fact that he's lost, he's never been back to a Super Bowl. He's played in one Super Bowl, and all those NFC Championship losses just, they stacked up. I mean, this man lost this, they blew that game against the Seahawks, got crushed by the Falcons that year, the year that Matt Ryan was MVP, and then they blew the lead in the Super Bowl. San Francisco a couple years ago. San Francisco also has just owned him in NFC Championship games. Yeah, I mean, he needs one more ring for his legacy, in my opinion. He's obviously going to go down as all-time great no matter what, but I feel like that second ring would look, even if he literally, like I said, look at Peyton Manning's career. Peyton Manning was kind of in the same boat. One of the most talented quarterbacks to ever play the game. One of the best quarterbacks to ever, like, you know, he was probably the best quarterback ever to, like, read a defense. And he had that one ring in Indy. And then his final season in Denver, he was nothing special, but that Denver team, that defense was loaded. Von Miller got the MVP, got the Super Bowl MVP, and they just carried him to a Super Bowl. And it just looks a lot better on his resume, the fact that he has two, even though he really didn't do much that season. In fact, Brock Osweiler started a good portion of the regular season. It just looks so much better. It looks so much better on Rodgers' career if he just got one more ring. Don't care how he gets it. And this is a guy I used to despise, I used to hate, because his one Super Bowl came against my Steelers. I hated that man for years, but I just, now I respect his greatness, and I want to see him get one more ring. I just don't see it happening in Green Bay. He's going to have to leave. My preferred destination for him will be the Jets. So we will see what happens there. Let me think. Sean Payton's in Denver, so that's interesting. We'll see if he can fix Russell Wilson. If he can, that would be impressive because Russ looked horrible this year. Yeah, so that'll be an interesting dynamic because, I mean, Denver has a nice squad. Their defense was very good this year. Their offense was just horrible, and they got some pieces on offense. Javonte Williams getting hurt them a little bit. He should be back. Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton, I mean, they got some nice weapons. They really just need better QB play and a better, you know, better offensive scheme, basically, and Sean Payton is the guy for that. I mean, if there's a guy that's going to fix your offense, it's going to be Sean Payton. We'll see what happens with Lamar in Baltimore. See if he stays there. And that's another place, another guy who would be perfect fit in New York would be Lamar Jackson. So that's an interesting dynamic. I'm excited to see, not excited, but like anticipating, like, I guess, yeah, excited is the right word. Anticipating to see where he's going to go. If he goes anywhere, I mean, he might just, Baltimore might get a deal done, but doesn't look like they're anywhere close as of right now, as far as like the number, the money. That's an interesting situation. Cause like if you're the Ravens, like he hasn't played barely the past couple years and he's asking for like all this money. But at the same time, when he does play, he's electric and he's one of the, you know, most fun players to watch in the NFL. With his legs and his arm, mainly his legs. I mean, he has a good arm, but he, let's be honest. I mean, Lamar wouldn't be the player he is without his athleticism and his running ability. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how the Ravens can pay him that much money considering the fact that he hasn't played. And he's going to continue to take big hits because of the way he plays and his play style. So maybe the Ravens are better off, you know, moving on from him. Maybe he's better off going somewhere else, because even if he does stay, Baltimore's a very good team. They'll be a playoff team, but I don't think they're ever going to win a Super Bowl with the current roster structure they have, even with Lamar. Because like even in, you know, he's only won one playoff game. Obviously, he's only been in the league for a handful of years, but I don't know. So yeah, this is going to be a shorter episode. I was kind of like just announcing that I'm back. To look out for me on TikTok, and I'm going to start promoting on there. Follow me on there. I'll be covering, you know, basketball. Obviously, March Madness will be coming up, NBA playoffs. I'm excited for the NBA playoffs this year. All the moves that were made in the offseason, the trade deadline. So yeah, that'll be exciting. As of right now, my pick to win it all for March Madness would be Alabama, and my pick to win the NBA championship would be Suns. As of right now, I'm gonna have to see KD with them, but right now I like the Suns. And if not the Suns, then the Bucks for the NBA championship. But that's obviously, you know, things are gonna change, you know. Well, I'm gonna have to see what the Suns look like with Kevin Durant. I mean, on paper it looks it looks pretty deadly with him, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. You know, that should be fun. We'll see how it works. Obviously, the West got more interesting with the trade deadline. Kyrie on the Mavs. Now him and Luka, that'll be fun to watch. They've only played one game together so far. The All-Star break's coming up this weekend. So, the season's going to pick up after that. So I'll be covering that as well. NFL draft, March Madness, NBA playoffs. Just look out for all kinds of content on my TikTok. I'll continue to, if anything big happens in NFL free agency, I'll talk about it. That'll be in March as well. It's an exciting time for sports right now. Even though the NFL season just ended, it's still, these next couple months are pretty fun. So I'll have plenty to talk about. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to wrap this episode up. Thank you guys for listening. Again, I urge everyone out there to please go follow me on TikTok, because I'm trying to get 1,000. I'm nowhere close right now. I have like 60 some, but I want to go live on there so that way I can do live streams and just, talk to people on a live setting. Will be fun. I might even start, I don't know, I'm gonna have to like find out how to do it, because like when it comes to technology, I'm not the best. I might start doing like a lot live podcasts, maybe. I don't know, we'll see. I actually have videos on my TikTok now, so hopefully people actually follow me. I don't have like no content on there. I have a couple of videos. I'm probably gonna make a couple more videos tomorrow at some point. So thank everyone for listening. I'm back. This has been Here Comes the Money. I've been your host, Todd Maxwell. Thank you. Goodbye.